there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then that old accuser to the Lord did cry. He is just a sinner, and now he must die. Then I heard a voice saying, Father, I'll go, I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save that child who is sin sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. There are those who rely on the works that they do, and some men count on the times they pray through. But when the battle's over and the last song is sung, I'll go home through the blood of the Father's precious Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 28, tells us about the power in the blood. So Hebrews 9, verse 22 says that almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. John Phillips said in his book, Exploring Hebrews, today many look with revulsion on the shedding of blood that forms such an essential feature of the Old Testament religion. They consider with equal horror the New Testament teaching concerning Christ's blood. They shudder in abhorrence at many of the gospel hymns that emphasize the blood of Christ. Those who thus scorn the shed blood have their eyes blinded to both God's blazing holiness and to the dreadful nature of sin. Sin is a radical and terrible reality that calls for a radical and terrible cure. End quote. Now the world may not like to think about or hear about blood, but the writer of Hebrews tells us that it's only the blood of Christ that can cleanse us from our sins. Kent Hughes, in his book, Hebrews, An Anchor for the Souls, maintains this. During the 1,000 years of the Old Covenant, there were more than 1 million animal sacrifices. So considering that each bull spilled 1 gallon or 2 of blood, and each goat a quart of blood, the Old Covenant truly rests on a sea of blood. Yet none of these animal sacrifices ever gained forgiveness for sin. The Old Testament sacrifices only had the power to cover sin, only temporarily. They were only a foreshadow of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had the power to take away sin. Now, first of all, it's a remedy for the conscience. The blood is a remedy for the conscience. According to verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works, that's sin, dead works, to serve the living God. The blood of animals was able to purify the flesh of an unclean person, but the blood of Christ is able to purge the conscience from dead works or sin to serve the living God. Animal sacrifices could not do this because the daily and annual sacrifices constantly reminded the people of their sin. You might remember a couple of years ago, Britt Hume on Fox News had this to say about Tiger Woods, the golfer, the professional golfer, and his marital problems which he had at that time. And so Britt Hume came up with some personal advice on the air to Tiger Woods. Here's what he said. Turn to Christianity to make a full recovery. The extent of that that he can recover seems to me to depend on his faith. I don't think the Buddhist offered the kind of forgiveness and redemption that is offered by the Christian faith, end quote. Now here's Tiger Woods' answer, and I quote that. I practice meditation, and once a year, my mom and I go to the Buddhist temple together. In the Buddhist religion, you have to work it out yourself internally in order to achieve anything in life and set up the next life. It's all about what you do. And you get out of it what you put into it. End quote. Never has been but two kinds of religion in the world, friend. Never will be but two. Ever since Cain and Abel, a religion of works and a religion of grace, and all religions, I don't care what you call yourself, all of them fall into either a system of works for salvation or a system of grace for salvation. It's a sad thing that Tiger Woods did not heed the advice of Britt Hume. Well, not only that, but it's a remedy offering forgiveness according to verses 15 through verses 22. And two important truths emerge here. First of all, a will demands a death, and for where there's a testament, there must also be the testator. For a will is only enforced after someone is dead. It has no force, it has no power while the testator lives. And so if one makes a will and they're still alive, the will is absolutely not worth the paper it's written on until that person dies. Then it comes into effect. So we're not saved by the exemplary life of Jesus, even though it was most exemplary. We're saved by his death, by his blood. And then also forgiveness demands blood, for according to verses 18 through 22. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews and Exodus, we understand that everything of significance was literally soaked with blood. Half on the altar, half on the people and the book. It was not a pretty sight. The altar, the people, and the book just literally dripped with blood. And so, from this lavish use of blood in the inaugurating of the two great institutions of the Old Testament, we're given the principle found in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. And so the Old Testament emphasizes blood for two reasons. First of all, the seriousness of sin. The Bible takes sin very seriously. Christianity, more than any other religion, takes sin very seriously. Sin is rooted in the heart of man. Sin cannot be removed by self-help, no amount of trying to pull one's self up by their own bootstraps is going to help. No reformation is going to help. No other religion has any viable help to offer for the removal of sin except Christianity. Some years ago, not far from here, there was held a parliament of religions in Chicago, Illinois. Almost every known religion on the face of the earth sent a representative to the Parliament of Religions. And during one session, a pastor, Joseph Cook of Boston, Massachusetts, stood up and he said, "Gentlemen, I beg to introduce to you a woman of great sorrow. Bloodstains are on her hands, and nothing that she's tried will remove them. The blood is that of murder. She's been driven to desperation in her distress. Is there anything in your religion that'll help this poor woman?" The auditorium fell completely silent. Not one person spoke a word. And then Pastor Cook looked heavenward and he said, John, do you have anything that'll help this poor woman? She's been driven to desperation by her sin. Is there anything that you can say that will help her?" And then Pastor Cook, for effect, said, "Listen, John speaks." And then he waited a moment. And the blood. And so, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. First John 1, verse 7. Not a soul broke the silence. Not one person spoke up. Where's the representative of Islam? Can Islam help this poor woman? Where's the representative of the Hindu religion? Can the Hindu religion help this poor woman? Where's the representative of the Vatican? Can the Vatican help this poor woman? No one spoke. In the face of human need, only Jesus Christ alone meets that need. Nothing there is on this earth outside of Jesus Christ that can take away sin. The second reason is the cost of forgiveness. Sin leads to death, and the payment for sin cannot be denied. And so that leads us to this. It's a remedy not needing repetition, according to verses 23 through verses 28. It does not need repetition. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So put it simply there, friend. It's just one of two places for our sin. Either we're going to pay for our sin, or Jesus Christ is going to pay for our sin. One or the other. And if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ this afternoon, there's nothing ahead of you but judgment. No one appears before the judgment seat of Christ, or the great white throne, rather, will be saved. Not one person appearing before the great white throne will be saved. Every one of them is going to be lost. And God will judge them accurately. And God will judge them precisely. And not one person is going to have an excuse. Nothing can be hidden from God. He will have all the facts in the case. He'll have all knowledge available to him when he judges. And so today, if your sin is on you, nothing can remove it but the blood of Jesus Christ. There was a family that was in a terrible automobile accident. Man and his wife and two sons, and was in the hospital. The father was not badly injured, and he came into his younger son's hospital room, and he said, "Mike, Your brother Danny's been terribly injured in this automobile accident. The doctors say that he needs a transfusion. Will you give him your blood so he can live?" Mike thought for a while, and then he says, "Yes, Dad, I'll do that for my brother." So they wheeled him into the room where they took the blood. You know how that goes. They took the blood out and put a little Band-Aid over his arm, and everything just went along fine. And then Mike started to cry. And his dad was shocked, and he said, "What's the matter? What's the matter, Mike?" He says, "Dad, when do I die?" And then the father realized Mike didn't understand. Mike thought that he was going to give his blood to his brother, and Mike was going to die and his brother was going to live. You see, but he was willing to do that for his brother. Well, Jesus Christ gave his blood for you, my friend. For us all. So that we could live eternally with him. And so I want to illustrate what it might have looked like that day. The day that Jesus was crucified just outside the city gate of Jerusalem. Let's have all the lights out, please.
Thank you.
us no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing.
Let's all stand, please. How about you, friend? Are you saved? If not, you can be. By trusting in Christ, we're saved by His blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission or no forgiveness. I wonder if there's someone here tonight, this afternoon, who lift up their hand and say, pray for me. I don't really know where I'm going to spend eternity. I have no assurance whatever I'm going to go to heaven, but I'd like for you to pray for me. I want to be included in the prayer. Is there somebody like that? Just lift your hand up real high, friend. Anybody? Yes, thank you. There's another. Yes. Anybody else? Quickly, just raise up your hand. Father, we're grateful for your goodness. Pray you'd save the lost. Help them to see you love them and that you want them to spend eternity with you in heaven. Help us to see this by the power of the blood of Christ that we're saved. His work on the cross. After he died, he rose from the grave. He conquered death and hell. Help us to see that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing Just As I Am. And as we sing that song, it might be that you'd just like to come and pray. It might be that you need to be saved. I'm telling you what, friend, there's nothing on this earth more important than that. You come right now as we sing. Just as I am. Come on.
Just as I am, without one plea. Oh, shed for me. Come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Pastor.
Prayer. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation full and free. And Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to appreciate the great sacrifice that you have given. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.